We're only looking at verse 7 today, and we're particularly focusing on the latter part of the verse, essentially the second half, although we'll consider it in its context a little bit. Psalm 51, verse 7. As you just sang, as we will now read, David writes with a heart of repentance after grievous sins. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me read that once more. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Well, due to the busyness this week with preparing for the annual meeting and a session meeting, I need a little more time. I am still studying and working, but I need a little more time for the next section of Deuteronomy together. That's one of the reasons I'm turning us to Psalm 51:7 this morning. But the other reason, and I kind of anticipated during the week, is my family and I, we had a nice excursion to the mountains this week and got a little place in Julian, and then as our little base camp, and would drive up to Laguna and play in the snow. And as it is with the Van Locos, we usually get the leftover wet, icy snow, but we still had a lot of fun. Didn't have to deal with chains and crowds. And just had a delightful time, and it just got me thinking to do a devotion on snow. You know, we've had devotions on sun and stars and rain not so long ago, and, you know, there's a lot in the scriptures about snow, and there's a reason for that. There's a few different aspects of how snow can be used. I'm going to focus on one main thing out of our verse today. I'd like to pass on to you our family devotion that we had in a very rough form on this and some other verses that I've meditated on more, and I'd like to pass them on to you because it's really lovely to think about snow. Now, I'll ask for your imagination as the Lord has given us warmer weather today. You'll have to use your imagination. I imagine most of you have been in snow. It was interesting to see the news, as is often the case, when there was a lot of snow recently and there were news interviews. One of the guys said, "I've never seen snow before. This is my first time, and it's incredible." And of course, I always think of Fernanda when she first came to Boston to see her mother. Ask her about her shoes, by the way. But when she first came to, now she's looking at me. Oh, but when she first came to Boston and she saw snow, she was blown away. She'd never seen snow coming from Brazil. They don't have it, not even in their mountains. And she couldn't believe it. She loves it. I know this. She reminds me all the time. But it's so refreshing coming from a hot and humid land to this refreshing, cleansing kind of an experience, this beauty of fresh fallen snow. Now, again, it's kind of similar to studying rain. There's a lot in the Bible about rain with some significant aspects of it and the way the Bible uses it. There's also a benefit to studying a little bit the use of the word snow in Scripture. Job 37, verse 6, for instance, says this, "For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength." So he says, snow, be thou on the earth. So once again, I just want us to remember, where's the rain come from? God. Where's the snow come from? Nobody talks about it on the news. What they should say is, God sent us a lot of snow this week. Praise the Lord. At least that's what we should say, right? I know some of us are not as inclined to go to the snow, but trust me, praise the Lord, because what's another benefit of the snow? The melting, the water table, all these things we need. But the snow is from God, and he just says, just like he said, let there be light, there was light, he says, let there be snow on the earth, and so it is. So first we just want to recognize God is the one who gives us snow. Psalm 147, verse 8, that we looked at before, sings of God sending rain. But in the same psalm, in verse 16, it says, he giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. I know we SoCal people, who most of us haven't had too much experience with snow, myself a Western New Yorker, I'm more inclined to appreciate these verses perhaps, but notice the scripture is speaking of snow as a good thing, as a blessing from God. Just make sure you're dressed appropriately. But it's a refreshing, beautiful thing. Again, God gives snow, and we need to recognize all things come from the hand of our Father, the gifts of heavenly light. While we were in the mountains, we kept commenting on how refreshing the snow is, how cool it is, how clean it is. It just has this effect on you. And that is the sense that David's bringing to us to help us as we deal with the effects of our sins. Namely, we're saints, we're Christians, but we still battle the old man, and we have that need and a sense of being cleansed, that need to be refreshed and revived. And the Lord speaks to us this morning about that in the image of snow. Snow, a fresh white sheet blanketing the trees and earth, covering over dirt and grime as if it is no longer there, right? That's the beauty, especially in certain places where garbage might be strewn or things are not taken care of. When there's a fresh snow, it's like it's all gone. It's like a whole new place. It's a purifying process. Snow is crystallized water, and it is purer than most types of precipitation. It's basically frozen distilled water. It is better to drink than most of our tap water. It's interesting that Job says also in chapter 9, verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. There's a broader context I won't comment on, but notice he has this idea of washing my hands with snow water, the purity, the cool, the cleansing aspect of snow. Snow has a cleansing, purifying nature to it in our experience. And that is the experience God is drawing to our minds with this illustration that he could bless us with some refreshing revival and cleansing. David references snow in this psalm, verse 7 of Psalm 51, in a psalm of repentance for his filthy, dirty sins. He needs to turn to God and be cleansed. He's hiding from the need to do that. And so God sends Nathan the prophet to call him out so he would repent, so he would be refreshed. He speaks in the psalm of how, refresh me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I've lost the joy because the stink of my filthy sin is on me, and I need to repent to be cleansed of it in experience, to be free of it. Restore to me the joy of my salvation so that I start teaching other people again how to love and serve the Lord. I've been holding back because of my dirty sins. He understands this need to be cleansed of dirty, evil sins. And he says, if you will wash me, I will be whiter than snow. Imagine, whiter than snow. With the level of his sins. He teaches us that the effect of Christ's washing you with his blood is the experience of his purity. I give that to you as the general idea of this verse in context. The effect of Christ's washing you with his blood is the experience of his purity. Remember, what is the context again? David was committing adultery with Bathsheba. She's pregnant. He wants to try to hide that. He can't get Uriah to do what he wants so that it looks like it's his kid. So he sends Uriah into a place of certain death. So he's guilty of adultery and murder, literally. I mean, not just we know we're all guilty of adultery and murder from the Sermon on the Mount, but he's actually literally guilty of the actual acts of adultery and murder. That's the context of the psalm. The title reminds us of this, of the psalm. Psalm 32, an important parallel quoted in Romans 4. Look at that another time. How blessed not to have my iniquities imputed to me. His hands, as he writes this psalm, as he lifts them up with his head down or beats his chest with his hands are covered in blood, as it were. He has been confronted by Nathan the prophet, and he is in the process, by God's grace, of repenting of these horrendous transgressions. But as a sinner saved by grace, he is responding. As a saint who needs new cleansing, he is responding. He asks God to be washed of his sins. The sins are paid for in Christ, but he wants to be washed of them, have them off of him, so he can experience putting them into the depths of the sea behind him and moving forward, a refreshed and new man. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. The beauty is in our verse, what does he say? He's not left without hope. He knows God's mercy, even for such things. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. If you purge me, if you wash me, I can be clean. Notice it isn't I wash myself. It's you wash me. Holy Spirit, pour over me and bless me and cleanse me as I come to you in repentance. Apply the blood of Christ to me anew as it relates to my sanctification. Let me point this out really quickly before we move on. A murderer can be forgiven by Jesus. This does not excuse the sin. After all, God is calling out this murderer. If any of you happen to be literally a murderer, there are also other issues that need to be dealt with this state. But the reality is, before God, you can be forgiven. Adultery. You can be forgiven. Doesn't mean there may not be consequences involved in the temporal life, but as it relates to facing eternal life or death, you can be forgiven. Now, as we think about the Sermon on the Mount, Christ makes it very clear, you and I are all guilty of murder, simply hating without a just cause. And don't we do that all the time? And you and I are guilty of adultery for simply looking at lust at others who are not our wives or husbands. And isn't that something we have to battle all the time just to get out of the supermarket, let alone other places? And God offers mercy. He offers cleansing. He offers washing that will make you whiter than snow. I mean, we could stop right there and go home and cry with tears of joy, could we not? I want to encourage you as we continue to really think about how sinful you and I are daily in thought, word, and deed, and how much we need to repent and come to God to be cleansed and to see that he'll meet us there and give us the cleansing. It's as if he knows that he will experience Christ's renewal cleansing as he asks for it. It's as if fresh snow had fallen over him and his life to refresh and purify. Let us remember, he's a man after God's own heart. And though there is another king in the scriptures that God speaks of with even more honor as it relates to being a man of repentance for everyone else to follow, Josiah, a time of reformation and revival. So let us be encouraged. God is leading us to reformation and revival through repentance to be refreshed. See, the devil would like us to stay in our stinking sins so that we continue to repeat them and at the very least never feel free from the stink, that we wouldn't grow in holiness. Notice, if you wash me, he doesn't say I'll be white as snow. He says, I'll be whiter than snow. That's the effects of God's grace. We're talking like a major power wash. You know what I mean? Like that thing comes out, you say, that thing's look better than new, right? You know, that's the effect that we can have. You know, you can think about, we've seen videos, sometimes movies where they might give a sense of heaven or some kind of heavenly influence in the world. And what is usually surrounding it? Bright, bright, white light. You need to put your sunglasses on. God's gracious, touch of sanctification in Christ is so holy. His holiness blessed upon us. So, beloved, hear the call of God to be washed whiter than snow. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Now, remember, Isaiah, this is a book of major prophets saying you're about to get a whooping. You're about to get a significant punishment as a people. And he does. And yet the hope is given there to let it be what it's meant to be. Turn you around to repentance and restoration and revival and reformation and holiness as my people. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That other imagery of the Lord our good shepherd will make our wool white when we come in repentance, and we can. And he's saying, be reasonable. Come to me in repentance, and I will wash you. And this is what David is certain of. Notice, though, in Isaiah there, I think we have the implication in Psalm 51 in its context in many of the Psalms. But notice in Isaiah here, the whiteness, what is it being contrasted with? This idea of purity and holiness represented by the color white, or you could say the absence of other colors, really, right? What is the contrast? The contrast is not black. The contrast is not some kind of a dark color. The contrast is red. Blood. That's because the scriptures speak of needing to be cleansed of blood guilt. And that's why there is this phrase regularly about having blood on one's hands or being innocent of the blood of someone on our hands. And that's why in the Revelation, the saints are said to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have them turned white, showing they are covered over in His holiness. You see, the way for you to be washed of the red of your sins, the guilt of blood, is to have the blood of Jesus Christ wash it off of you. And that's the only way. But it is the way. The hyssop in Psalm 51, verse 7. What is the hyssop? Do you remember? It's a plant-like brush that the priest used to dip in blood of the atonement, the animal that was sacrificed to make atonement by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Life is in the blood. And it's all, remember, prefiguring the Lamb of God who would save his people from their sins, Jesus, by the shedding of his blood on the cross. And he, the high priest, applies that blood in the holy temple in heaven, where he now ascended in the true holy of holies to let us in, even now in prayer and worship. But that hyssop is that plant brush that's used to dab into the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it, whether it's on the altar or on the people. There's different times and situations representing cleansing, washing away of sins. And so David says he's thinking of the temple and the tabernacle, the ceremonial system. We've been through Leviticus. We've seen it applied so much in the book of Hebrews and the New Testament. David is saying, Jesus, help me remember you've saved me of all our sins, and please sprinkle me, as it were, your blood. Refresh me with the sense of your forgiveness. Take the blood off my hands, reminding me of your blood once and for all on the cross. He says, if you do that, what will be the effect? I shall be clean. Remember, we read in Matthew recently, they come to Jesus and say, please, if you will, touch me and make me clean. He says, I will, be thou clean. And we were reminded to ask God to cleanse us, and he will. That's the whole point. Otherwise, we'd just all be in hell forever right now. Let us be praying, Lord, touch me, make me clean, make me holy, which is his will, sanctification. Jesus has done this for you once and for all. You have been made clean eternally. But as you need regular washing of your filthy sins, temporally, experientially, Jesus will purify you. Beloved, may this message refresh you in your redemption. Proverbs 25, verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. You are cleansed by the blood of Christ once and for all. But as you confront your present sins, already paid for by that blood, let it cleanse your conscience to serve the living God. So, now, with what we will do next, according to his ordinance, come to the Lord's table and eat his body and drink his blood, remembering the blood on your hands has been washed away by his. Whatever crimson stains your palms and fingers have, lift them to the Lord in repentance and worship, and receive his body and blood, and find them restored and purified and ready for renewed and revived service. May you return to your homes today as if you've just come down from the mountain, having made a snow angel. For again today, Christian, Christ makes your sins whiter than snow. And that is the message for you from this scripture. As you come to take of the Lord's Supper now, particularly thinking of his blood, and the blood on your hands he will yet again wash off. Remember and rejoice. Christ makes your sins whiter than snow. It comes to mind as we're teaching our toddler to clean his hands after different moments. We go, okay, clean our hands. And he always says, yes, clean hands, wash and be clean, all clean, all clean. Maybe in a childish way, we should have that sense of we've come before the Lord, we wash our hands today through the blood of Christ, and we go away all clean, all clean. Because Christ makes your sins whiter than snow. Don't you ever complain about snow again. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do thank you for snow that gives water to us. We thank you for what it gives to us as an illustration, the way you use it in the scriptures, cleansing, refreshment from our sins, washing and renewal. And so, Lord, we come to you repenting of our sins as did David. We recognize, O Lord, that we are guilty of murder, that we are guilty of adultery, that we are guilty of violating all of your commandments in every way. We come to you recognizing our filthy righteousnesses and that we're not worthy of the least of all your mercies. And yet we come, Lord, to have new mercy this morning and new joy in it because of your faithfulness. To your name, to your mercy, to your covenant. We come to you through the blood of the everlasting covenant in Jesus Christ and ask that you would touch us with hyssop and make us clean, wash us and make us whiter than snow. Recognizing David speaks of this in a way that knows it is going to happen. He is assured of this because it is based on Christ and not ourselves. We confess, Lord, it's hard for us to really appreciate or feel like we can really come before you with our sins. But here we are encouraged to do so, that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation, that you would cause us to teach others of you the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord, for the example of David and Josiah and others, that you call us to repent. And as we do, you will refresh us in your salvation. So, Lord, as we come to your supper now, let this be so. Thank you. And as we leave, Let us think about the beauty of snow. Maybe look at a picture or a video of the beauty, the brilliance, the cleanliness, and the refreshing aspect of snow. And let us think about this all the day, and let it be deep in our heart and affect the way we walk and live tomorrow and the rest of the week, freed from the stain and stink, encouraged to move forward, all clean, so that we would live holy lives. For your glory, for our good, and the edification and advancement of your kingdom, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all your people said, Amen.